the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey. Hey, 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 hey. Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Sal's on the way here in a second. Let me get you a quick weather note. Weather Service just issued a special statement. So for heavy snow showers that are going to affect north central Erie and Niagara counties, this is until 8 o'clock this morning. We won't have a ton of snow, maybe an inch, but it's going to be like a heavy burst of snowfall. So it can be could reduce visibility to a quarter of a mile at times. Slick travel conditions. So again, this is until 8 o'clock this morning. For north central Erie and Niagara counties. Be aware that it might just be a big burst of snow coming down.
So it's coming in quick and getting out fast.
Yeah, that's it. It's at 7 a.m. It's south of Lake Ontario, comes in, burst of snowfall, maybe an inch, goodbye by 8. But, you know, in that window, yeah, driving could be a little tricky. So be aware. Mr. Capaccio is joining us on the Wester Hotline as part of M&T Bills Fan Football Friday. He is brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. We need you to stock up. It is the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? What do you say, Sal? How you doing?
Pretty good. Good morning.
You pumped? You getting excited?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, you're trying to stay focused on everything going on and, you know, not trying to get too far ahead of yourself. And I'm not trying to say that like a competitor here, but, you know, there's a lot to be done before that to get ready for a broadcast, for a game, things like that, you know. I think, you know, as the week has gone on, it's gotten a little bit more anxious, I think, especially with, you know, you guys saw the different radio spots, you know, that I've been doing. I know you've been doing some. You guys have Show Up in the Bulldog, different people on our station. We've been doing different spots around the country. I got more today. I think that's when it kind of hits you where everybody wants to hear and talk about the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
We were talking a little bit about what this game means, Sal. I mean, there's a lot that it means. Going to a Super Bowl is, you know, that's something that you don't ever forget, obviously. And beating the Chiefs is another one. If this were around before, I think we'd be looking at this game in a big way because, you know, you might say they got crowned a little early. I mentioned to Howard, I went on a Chiefs pregame show, and they talked about the Chiefs as a dynasty already. Like, oh, they're the start of this dynasty. And I thought, man, that is early. I get it. You're good. So it's about, you know, proving that you're on that top level for this Bills team. So it's almost it's the perfect AFC championship game because you would win the AFC and in the process you'd beat the team that everybody seems to put above the rest of the AFC in the Chiefs.
Yeah, this is the best team. You know, I wrote about that this week. To be the best, you got to beat the best. To be the champ, you got to beat the champ, however you want to put it. And, you know, the Bills now are in the position to do that. Before this season started, I picked Bills and Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. I felt the Bills had what it took to get there, but to me, it was always about the Chiefs. It's always about the Chiefs being the best team in the NFL, in the AFC especially, for sure. And it's funny, Jeremy, you say that about, you know, thinking it's a dynasty and all that. You know, we've heard a lot of talk about Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, how old they are and how young they are, I should say, right? Mahomes is 25, Allen's 24. It's the first time, you know, two quarterbacks this young have matched up in this game. You know, and I think people, there's a rush to think on both sides, probably, especially the Chiefs. They've already won a Super Bowl with this kid, with Patrick Mahomes, how young he is. Hey, they're going to be here a long time. They're going to keep winning. You know, and I've said this run isn't going to end for the Bills. I don't think that necessarily means they're going to be in the championship game every year, but they're going to be good. And I think there is a, there's something to think about for people who fans think that you're just going to do it all the time. And I'll remind people that Dan Marino went to the Super Bowl when he was 23 years old. He never went back. You know, I mean, in 1984, I'm pretty sure that, like, Miami Dolphins fans thought that was going to be their birthright for the next 10 years with Dan Marino and how great he was. I remember being in Florida when the Patriots went, not to the Super Bowl run they had, but the one with Bledsoe when they lost to Favre. And I had a couple of friends that were Patriots fans, and they thought, oh, yeah, this Drew Bledsoe and, you know, Bill Parcells, they're going to be on this run for a while. Now, granted, they did go on a run later after everything changed and all that. But I think that there is a rush to think that. And this is a great special Chiefs team and quarterback. We know that. But I agree with you. Like, there is, you can't get too far ahead of yourself. It is hard. It is really hard to get to this point.
Want to get to some calls here in a second. But, of course, Sal, we always check the injury report with you during Football Friday. And the injury update is brought to you by Univera Healthcare. Compare because you care at univeraforbusiness.com. We'll get to the Chiefs in a moment, but let's start with the Bills. What's the latest on theirs?
Well, two guys who haven't practiced for two straight days, so obviously it's not trending well for them. And that is wide receiver Gabriel Davis and defensive tackle Vernon Butler. Davis with the ankle, Butler with the quad. So now we get to Friday here, and I don't know if, you know, McDermott will rule anybody out. Typically, I would think, you know, like last week, he didn't rule Daryl Johnson out. He ultimately didn't play, but, you know, he gave it, still said, all right, you know, still 48 hours. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's still the case today. And we'll see if they do any work today. Maybe they both, you know, do some work at practice today. Good news, Quentin Jefferson went from limited to full. There's still, you know, Stephon Diggs is still on there, still some guys. And then Cole Beasley came back on the injury report. Mm-hmm. He was not on Wednesday. I made note of that and said, oh, that's good news. He's not on it on Wednesday. Well, guess what? He's on it again. But probably just because Wednesday it was more of a lighter practice, no reason to be on it. But he was limited yesterday.
If Davis doesn't play, Sal, what do they do with that spot?
It's a great question. I mean, a lot of people wonder if it's, you know, going to be Kenny Stills who gets elevated. I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Kenny Stills was elevated. I think he's been now here for a couple of weeks, you know, 2-3 weeks. He'd probably at least have a good enough handle on the playbook, I would think, to be able to do that. But they also did elevate Duke Williams a couple of times towards the end of the year. You know, he's been with them for 2 years. I think they trust him at least to be a depth wide receiver. He could be an option as well. There's been some reporting that Jake Kumerow was joining the team. He has not yet, so it's not an option as of right now, at least, to be able to do that. But you never know. You know, if they signed him before Saturday at 4 o'clock, they could also, you know, elevate him, basically. So we'll see where that goes. I wouldn't rule Davis completely out personally yet until we hear Sean McDermott obviously do that.
You know, Sal, quick on Davis, I just want to ask you about him. I mean, this is a guy that had 7 touchdowns this season. He's not obviously their biggest gun, and whether it's Zach Moss or Gabriel Davis, you know, this offense has had a lot of weapons. We've watched 13 different guys catch touchdown passes, right? And if it is Stills or whoever it might be, how much does that change things? I mean, I'm not sure that is anybody a plug and play for Davis, the style of player that he's been for them?
No, I would say no. Look, I think it's funny. Someone had said earlier in the year, and I like this. They said, Gabriel Davis is what we always hoped Duke Williams would be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think if you're looking for a comp like body and, you know, bigger guy, whatever, it's Duke Williams. But I don't think Duke is quite the level of Gabriel Davis. You know, that's why Gabriel Davis was drafted where he was drafted. That's why he's played all year. I don't, you know, Kenny Stills is different. He can play in the slot if you need him to. That you know, that's the other reason why. If Cole Beasley is banged up and Gabriel Davis is out, Kenny Stills offers you a little bit position flexibility. He can work from the slot. He's mainly an outside guy. He's mainly more of a speed guy, too. So there's really not a guy that fits exactly what Davis gives you, because he's kind of like that, a little bit more of a well-rounded. He's kind of a mix between like a Davis and a Stills if you're just going by like what their main skill set and strengths are.
And the other thing about it, you know, it's matchup specific. The Chiefs game the first time was around the time the team started asking Josh Allen and this Bills offense to throw shorter, right? To take what's there, which this Bills defense ultimately found a way to do. I mean, Davis yards per catch is around 17. And I wonder if maybe this is more of a Beasley kind of game, more of a shorter throw game with extended drives than it is down the field like they've been against some of the other defenses they've played.
Well, it's interesting, Jeremy, you say that, because I did a podcast yesterday. I would recommend people to go check it out. It's the Sal Sports and Stuff podcast I do every week. I had my friend Seren Petro on, who's Seren and I went to Syracuse together. He grew up in Kansas City. I grew up in Buffalo, and now he's a host over there. I'm doing what I'm doing. So, you know, it's great to have a person that has that much, you know, knowledge and insight of their team. And I will tell you, like, he's really good when it comes to kind of analyzing, you know, what their strengths and weaknesses are. And what he said was, he thinks where their weakness is on defense is covering backs out of the backfield and tight ends. And I think that goes hand in hand what you're saying right now. And when I went back and watched the Week 6 game, the very first play of the second half for the Bills on offense was a screen pass to Devin Singletary. He went for 13 yards, and it was open. And then there was another pass where Josh missed him, where Josh was rolling out, and he floated over his head. But I thought that was there a little bit more. Like, wow, that's something they should have gone to more. And I think maybe it's something they go to more in this game, which is not necessarily screens per se, but getting the ball to guys more off the line of scrimmage, out of the backfield. He said tight ends, too. Remember tight ends last week? Austin Hooper was having a nice game. I don't remember what he wound up with last week for sure, but, you know, he made a couple big catches. So I do think that could be the case. I think we could be looking at maybe running backs and tight ends being more involved in that type of game plan here this week.
Sal, on our Wester Hotline, of course, he'll be on the broadcast with Murph and with Steve Tasker on Sunday night, 803-0550. Steve in Savannah, thanks for holding on. Welcome to M&T Bills Fan Football Friday.
Of course. Happy Football Friday, boys. I was calling in to talk about interior pressure and how Cam Hayward gave us a little bit of fit in the first half of the Steelers game. And Chris Jones is kind of that same style of player. Do you think that they learned what they needed to learn out of Cam Hayward and they can adjust and carry it over into Chris Jones? Or do you think that's going to be a problem?
No, I mean, look, they've faced him before. And, you know, they'll have a plan. They'll have a plan. I don't think – I would not compare the Chiefs front four with, you know, what the Steelers bring. If you want to call the Steelers a three or a four, you know, they can be both. But I wouldn't compare them. They're very good. They have very good players, obviously, on their defense. Chris Jones is an excellent player. Frank Clark is an excellent player. They're not a great pass rush. They're okay. They're okay. Yeah. You know, they can get – if they get rolling a little bit, they can be a real good front four. But they're not like an overwhelming pass rush. They're just guys that you have to basically really kind of make sure that you have a plan for on each side, you know, and well, at least I should say in Jones on the interior and Frank Clark on the outside. Again, going back to my podcast with Seren, one of the things he said was, you know, he compared Frank Clark and Sammy, which is, he said, you know, because you have a Super Bowl, it's a little bit different. But if they didn't, there'd be a lot of fans saying that both guys are really, really overpaid for what they've given them, as good as they are. And I found that interesting, especially with a guy like Frank Clark, who, you know, he's a really good player. But I guess, like, people in Kansas City just don't feel that production has necessarily been there.
Forgot the Chiefs injury, so let's go over. I mean, of course, Mahomes, but there's some other names. What's the latest on their report?
Yeah, Mahomes is the big one, right? I mean, because we're still, you know, seeing what's going on with him. And I will tell you, I still believe that the toe – did you guys watch any of the video yesterday of,
yeah.
You know, him running around? I don't know. I mean, maybe he's just running like he normally does. I just felt he might have been favoring it a little bit, you know, the foot. So mm-hmm. We'll see. Maybe I'm trying to read too much into it. But officially, he is still listed as limited. And, you know, that is with concussion and foot. The one that I think is interesting, this goes back to what we just talked about a little while ago, guys. So Willie Gay is a linebacker. He's a fast, athletic linebacker. And he's kind of the guy that does cover up some of those things where guys out of the backfield, you know, getting to tight ends, coming, you know, going sideline to sideline. They do have Tyrann Mathieu, who's really good, obviously. But if Willie Gay doesn't play, and I don't think he's going to, he has a high ankle sprain. He's missed 2 days of practice. I think that might even more lean to, hey, the Bills might have an opportunity to do some things out of the backfield here with their tight ends. He's an interesting player. Breshad Breeland is a good corner for them. He's in concussion protocol also. He's been limited. He could get cleared. We don't know that. And then we're waiting on Edwards-Helaire. I think a lot of people think he will play in some capacity. I think that's kind of been the report. We don't know what Sammy Watkins. Nobody really seems to know what's going on there, if he's going to play or not every week. And then Le'Veon Bell popped up for them on the injury report, which is interesting because with a banged up Edwards-Helaire, you know, Le'Veon Bell does become somewhat of an option, but, you know, he's not practicing. So they have their own issues they're dealing with in Kansas City.
How would Breeland be a big issue too? Like when you look at the matchups with, it's not a great secondary, Sal, right? I think people would say the star of the secondary is Tyrann Mathieu, not Breeland or any of those guys. If Breeland can't play though, how is that significant?
Yeah, I mean he's a starting corner, and you know there's only so many guys, and there's weapons. You know there's weapons on the bill. It's just like saying Gabriel Davis. Like okay, like you take him off. Like okay, that's a weapon you're losing, but you take off a guy like that, that's a guy covering the weapons that you're using. They have a really good slot corner named mm-hmm. Legarius Sneed. He's had a really excellent year. He's a rookie. He's converted. I think he was a safety originally, but you know that's a guy that they rely on. He'll probably be mostly on Cole Beasley. But yeah, Breeland, he played a pretty big role in the Week 6 game that they played. So it is someone to watch for sure.
We'll go to Lakeland, Florida, and Joshua, welcome. You're on M&T Bills Fan Football Friday with Sal. Go right ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good, thank you.
Great.
Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
So I don't know if this has already been something that's been talked about on the show, but in April I tweeted about this, and now that it's kind of coming true, you know, I kind of wanted to talk about it. You know, everyone, there's a lot of people that, you know, that are afraid of Tom Brady and seeing him in the Super Bowl. And, you know, I want all that smoke. How awesome would it be to go to where the first Super Bowl where we lost when it went wide right, to go back to Tampa where we lost that Super Bowl, to do it again, go back over there to Tampa and win the Super Bowl, and not only winning the Super Bowl, but beating the one guy that torched us. To me, it's just poetic justice. To me, the NFL, that is, I mean, I guess it could be a biased take, but there couldn't be a better take, better story than the Buffalo Bills winning in Tampa, where it started all, and beating Tom Brady. And to me, it's just it'll be such a beautiful thing to happen.
Yeah, one thing about that in terms of the matchups, you know, if the Bills weren't here, we might generally have the conversation, well, which matchup would the NFL prefer, right? And, you know, if you did it with these four, whatever. We're, of course, biased for the Bills a little bit. But all four matchups would be really good. Packers-Bills is, you know, these franchises that fans are – their supporters are so well-known, and they just represent a lot of what people like about the NFL in these traditional markets. Mahomes and Brady as the other two. I mean, you kind of can't miss, depending on whatever the matchup is. And hey, if it's Bills Packers, we can craft a storyline how the Bills didn't have a first round pick that year because of J.P. Lossman, and now they're taking on that revenge game against Aaron Rodgers. You know, I mean, I'm good with whoever they play, but I get it. The thing about the Bucs that makes me nervous is their defense is much, much better than the Packers' defense. Of course, we got a. Maybe we'll talk about that on Monday or Tuesday, you know, one game at a time here.
All right, Sal, thank you, sir, as always. We'll listen for you with Murph and Steve on Sunday night.
Okay, guys, thanks a lot. Have a great weekend, everybody.
You too. Sal, brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? We have lines open. We're going to get to you if you're on hold, but you can also get in right now. We have an open segment next to get your thoughts on the Bills-Chiefs matchup Sunday night. 803-0550, 888-550-2550 for M&T Bills Fan Football Friday. Speaking of M&T, our Bills news throughout the course of the playoffs is brought to you by M&T Bank, the official bank of your Buffalo Bills.
You know, it's going to be one of the top offenses of all time, I think, you know, obviously because of the explosive playmaking of a Tariq Hill. And then you have Travis Kelce, who I think is probably more difficult for defenses to deal with. And then Patrick Mahomes, who at this age, his trajectory is just, who knows where he's going to end up when it's all said and done. But to have that type of arm talent and those type of weapons. And then when you look at Andy Reid as a head coach and his creative mind and how great of a play caller he is, again, it's just a difficult challenge. And that offense puts a lot of pressure on everybody on that defense. They stretch you vertically, they stretch you horizontally, and you have to make sure you're on top of your game for 60 minutes.
It is former Bill London Fletcher. He was on with us yesterday. For what it's worth, if you're interested in this stuff, Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs have been in six playoff games with Mahomes. They're 5-1. They've averaged 33 points in those six games. The only time they scored under 30 was last week when they beat Cleveland. They scored 22 points and Mahomes missed the entire fourth quarter, leaving with the concussion after he suffered the toe injury. 803, by the way, 803-0550 to join us. We've got lines open. Let's get to – I'm sorry, go ahead.
I have a quick question.
Yeah.
I want to – some of our callers might be able to answer this. I had Brayton snag something because I've had something pop into my head, and maybe some of our Bills historians that are listeners and callers can tell us the story or how it came about or what it's from. The whole the song that – I mean, you've heard it, right? I got a feeling Buffalo's going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know that song? Here, let's hear it.
I know it. Yeah, I'm trying to think of the origin of it, though.
I got a feeling Buffalo is going to the Super Bowl. This is not the last time, but Buffalo is going to the Super Bowl.
Now, I always thought, did Bruce Smith ever sing that? Because that's not Bruce Smith.
No, I don't remember the
Yeah, that's Isaiah Robertson.
Right, that's Isaiah Robertson.
He's 1980s. Yeah, he's pre.
Yeah. And I feel like in my – because I hear that. I thought of that this week, and I looked for it on YouTube, and I found Isaiah singing it, and I thought, man, I always thought it was Bruce Smith. Did Bruce Smith ever sing it at any point during the 90s? And that's one question. Then the other is
– maybe he, like, sang it on the sideline one game?
Yeah, right, because anybody would have known about this, right? I mean, if you're going to the Super Bowl all the time, there's a video of a Bills player singing this song. So yeah. Our Bills historians, you can call, text, or tweet us because it feels appropriate, right? This is where you would use it.
Yeah.
this is this weekend, maybe.
Yeah, maybe they just caught him on the sideline singing it. And I don't remember, Jeremy, if he did it at some point. So we got some lines ringing. Maybe Brayton could get the information from one of our listeners. Let's get to Jeff in Massachusetts. Thanks for holding on, Jeff. Welcome to M&T Bills Fan Football Friday.
Hey, happy Friday, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Can't wait for Sunday's games. These playoffs have made the work weeks very long. Hey, that press conference earlier, Dan Campbell, was that a WWE? Or press conference?
That's pretty weird. Yeah, I guess from what I read on Twitter, like he opened up with a 17-minute statement before he even took like questions at all, and then he went into the whole, you know, bite your kneecap thing.
Right, yeah, it sounded like NWO was going to come out. When I hear that, I just hear run, run, run. That's how I interpret it. Yeah. Like a Rex Ryan team. Just one more thought about this upcoming game. Not that I want to go run, 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 but sprinkle a little bit more run plays like we did in the second half. Notice the offense was much more efficient, whereas the first half there was only one run call. And if Gay is out, this could finally be a breakout game for Singletary, hopefully. And let's go Bills Sunday.
It's funny. I'll tell you what. I'll work in a prop bet, Jeff, off your call. I was looking through some stuff from betonline.ag, Jeremy, and they sent out a whole bunch of prop bets. Most of them are involving all four games, like which quarterback will have the most passing yards, which receiver will have the most receiving yards. But
you got rushing attempts?
Well, there was this for the Bills game. When will the Bills have their first run play? It's an over-under. Under 3.5 plays from scrimmage, wow. -160. Over 3.5 plays from scrimmage, +120.
I love that bet.
I figured you'd enjoy that. I saw that. I'm like, I got to bring this up with Jeremy.
It's a perfect line. Basically, 3.5 plays.
And I assume that means Josh. I mean, it's a run play. So Josh could be running the ball. I don't think it's scramble. It's an actual design run, I think.
Right? I would want a clarification on that because a scramble is not a run play.
I think it's right. That's what I think. It says their first run play. To me, that is a designed run call, whether it's the quarterback or what, a jet sweep or right? It's not a scramble.
I would want it to be designed.
Yeah.
And I would take the under. I bet, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Brian Daboll is going to go up there and run the ball on the first play and then look at McDermott and say, there it is.
You happy?
Now
are you happy
we go.
I ran? That's funny. Now we're going to throw 20 times. I would take the over. I don't think they're I'm gonna say they will not have a designed run within the first three plays. They're gonna come out throwing.
Yeah. Dan tweets in about that Isaiah Robertson song.
Yeah.
He thinks he sang it after the Rams game where the Bills won in overtime in 1980.
Yeah, I think I saw YouTube. I closed out the window, but I did a search for Isaiah Robinson at Robertson, Bills Super Bowl, and it looked like it was a 1980 reference.
Okay.
But I was trying to find the Bruce Smith thing, and I as of yet, I haven't found it.
I mean, if they just write it on the spot, it's a catchy little tune.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's good. Yeah, and I was – because the 80 season was like a big turnaround. They beat Miami. They broke the streak. I want to say they beat the Rams on like a field goal. It was a close game. I was a freshman at Buff State, so I'm trying to recall. But that was a big year for them, and they ended up making the playoffs with Joe Ferguson.
Lost to the Chargers.
Is that what it was? Yeah, you know, because Ferguson was gimpy. Like I think he was playing that game on like one leg. He had a really bad injury, and he was hobbling around, and they lost that game. But, yeah, I'm trying to recall if Bruce sung it, on the sideline. One of those things where, you know, NFL Films captures the players on the sideline when the game's not in doubt. And maybe it was one of the AFC Championship games, and he started, you know, singing the song on the sideline. What do you think? Let me get one more in. Let me squeeze in John in Virginia. John, welcome to M&D Bills Fan Football Friday. Go right ahead.
Hey, guys, I talked to you when I had COVID back in March.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, you sound better. We're glad you're doing well.
Call.
Yeah.
I'm doing a lot better.
Excellent.
Once since then, once or twice. And please don't think that I don't listen religiously to you every single day. You help me get through COVID, and you help me every single day get my started off right. So I'm still listening every day. It's just hard to call in. I'm a teacher during the day. But I do get my vaccine in a couple weeks, so I'm excited about
very good
first shot.
Good.
I wanted to ask you what your thoughts were on – ever since they won the game on last Saturday, I've been checking the weather reports because I noticed that whenever there's any kind of wind, I know it will affect every quarterback, but it seems like it affects Josh more than – like when he has good weather games, it seems like he is precise with his passing. Like even the dome games, like with the Cowboys last year and – he's just amazing, but it seems like that precision takes a huge dip. I mean, for obvious reasons, but everyone says, well, the Bills offense struggled, but that wind was crazy last week, and I feel like that had a lot to do with everything, and I didn't know if you had any kind of stats or any thoughts on what his numbers are when it's inclement weather, when it with regards to heavy winds and or precipitation, as opposed to when there is no heavy winds and precipitation. If you had that, or if you could at least let me know about that sometime later in the show, because it just seems like it makes all the difference in the world. And also, if Gabe Davis is not able to make it, who do you think is going to take that position?
Well, on the wind thing, you know, I don't have Josh's specific numbers in good versus bad weather, but the general belief and things I've read about this are, you know, if you are a quarterback, wind hurts you no matter who you are. And the way to say that it hurts the good ones the most is because they have the farthest to fall. You know what I mean by that?
Mm-hmm.
Like Allen's efficiency is I'll make about a number here, normally a 94. And Sam Darnold's is a 72. And the wind might bring them both down 10%. You know, that hurts Allen more than it hurts Darnold because he's coming from a higher spot. If you're a precision-based offense, a bad field or bad conditions are worse for you. The Rams on turf. The Bills on turf. The Bills are a better team on turf, you know. They're fast. Their receivers are better on turf. One of the things, I'm going to get way ahead of us here, one of the things to watch is the turf in Tampa this year has been terrible.
Has it really? I didn't know that.
Mike Evans got hurt on
His turf. Leg jammed. That's right. His foot caught.
Yeah, it has looked like a really ugly field, and I don't know what they're doing for it before the Super Bowl, but that's on grass, and that's not on turf. So, you know, it affects everybody, and if you think that it affects Allen more than most, I think that is basically built in if you're near the top.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to be brought down a little more than somebody who's not any good to begin with.
And I also think, you know, at least last week, it can be wind. It could be also who are you playing? What's going on in that game? It was windy last week, and they were playing Baltimore. I mean, if it was windy in December and you were playing Denver, he still might have thrown for 300-something yards. Trying to think of some of the other bad weather games. I mean, New England here was not a great day weather-wise, but they also decided because of that, you know, he threw for 150 yards or something like that. And they decided we're going to run the ball more today. So they ran 38 times and they passed 19 and his numbers were down. So I think the winds should not be a problem Sunday night. I checked with Patrick Hammer over at Channel 2. 10-mile-an-hour winds, temperature around 40 at kickoff, dropping into the 30s, maybe some light rain. So, but winds 10 miles an hour I don't think is a big problem for either passing game. We'll get a break, 803-0550. It is M&T Bills Fan Football Friday. Don't forget, coming up 8 o'clock, we'll be streaming the last 2 hours of the show. So check us out live on the WGR Facebook page.
Put a shirt on, huh? That's what you're saying?
Oh, boy.
I have a shirt on.
Okay, yeah. I mean, you don't have to have pants on, but I would suggest a shirt. The live stream is presented by Southern Tier Brewing Company, brewed and loved in the 716.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, was the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, if you're looking up, well, the Sabres game tonight is here on WGR. Programming note, Sunday, don't forget, we have Bills coverage all day. So the Sabres game Sunday, which is a 3 o'clock game, is going to be over on ESPN 1520. Paul Hamilton joining us right now on our Wester Hotline. And there's some Sabre news to get caught up on. But, of course, Paul, it is M&T Bills Fan Football Friday. Happy Friday to you. What's going to happen Sunday night? What do you think? How's this thing playing out? You expecting the shootout?
I expected that against Baltimore, and look what happened.
More points in this game, Paul. Don't worry about it. Go with the over on this one. I'm telling you.
Well, this is the first time these two teams have met for the championship in Kansas City. The first two times they have met was in Buffalo, once in the AFL and once in the AFC. So this is the first time they're going to get together in Kansas City. And, I'll say I'm expecting, even though it didn't happen against Baltimore, I'm expecting a lot of points in this game, too. You know, I think the Bills, if they want to win this game, are going to have to get it to 30. At least.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they decided the last time they played the Chiefs that Mahomes wasn't going to be the one to beat them, and they understood that they were going to be able to run the ball against them, but they thought, well, okay, if we keep them under 30, we should be able to get enough points, and they didn't. That was the thing. That was one of the few games this year where they had trouble scoring points. It was mission accomplished. They kept the Chiefs under 30. Even though they ran wild as far as the running game went. But, you know, the plan was, okay, we'll do that, and then we'll score over 30, and we should be able to win the game. So it'll be interesting to see how McDermott approaches this one.
You know, Paul, when we talk about football games, a lot of times we'll look at an injury report, and you might feel better about your team's chances if the other team is missing some key players. So sweep the Caps this weekend, right? No Ovechkin, no Orlov, no Samsonov, no Kuznetsov, right?
Well, that's what you would think, but you have to play the game, and the Sabres desperately need wins. I mean, they've played pretty well in the last three games and only won one of them, and the other two scored one goal combined. But, you know, I think if they play that type of a game and don't let a goaltender stone them, you know, they have a pretty good chance to win these games. I mean, if you come into these games, you only have one win coming into these games, and then all of a sudden you lose both of them, or you only pick up 1 point out of four, and they have that type of talent out of the lineup, I think you're going to be in trouble.
There's some injury. Well, there's a different player news to bring up. So let's start with Carter Hutton. And so he's still hurting from the incident in Philly the other night?
Yeah, his head got hit up against the post after Montour led one of the Flyers into him. So he's not on the trip. And even though Ralph Kruger says it's day-to-day, he said Hutton needs rest.
Mm-hmm.
So he said they'll reevaluate when they get back from the trip as far as he goes. And Kyle Okposo, he said if he's not 100%, he's very, very close. He did not have a regular line yesterday in practice, but he did work in. He practiced fully. And he, I think, would like to be in the lineup tonight, but he said if he's not, he definitely would like to be in the lineup by Monday, by Sunday. So he's on the trip and hoping to play tonight, and we'll see where that goes.
And Linus Hallmark, is he now back practicing with the team? For those who missed the story, we had heard, you know, Hallmark was supposed to play the other day. He didn't. It was personal reasons. And Hallmark came out and mentioned that his father had passed away back in Europe, I assume Sweden. What's going on with Linus?
Yeah, he did practice. Johansson and Hallmark were the goalies yesterday. Tokarski has been called up as the taxi squad goaltender. He was not on the ice with the Sabres yesterday. Some of the taxi squad guys were, but he wasn't. So he'll be on the trip as the third goaltender. But it looks like it'll be Hallmark and Johansson in uniform.
Okay. And nice gesture on behalf of the Sabres teammates, right? Gave him the game puck the other night in Philly after the win?
Yeah, Jack Eichel, the captain. Hallmark, of course, was there. He didn't come back to Buffalo or anything like that. He was, you know, came in the room, and everybody, you know, what you can do, socially distanced or whatever, gave him a hug or a tap or whatever it is that they can do to follow protocols. And then Eichel presented him with the puck, which was quite emotional from what I understand what Eichel and Kruger were saying.
One last thing, since you mentioned Eichel. So he spoke yesterday. He has no goals. When are they trading the bum? I'm just kidding. He didn't start camp on time because he was nicked up, but, you know, he's off to a really good start. That line looks really good now, especially with Reinhardt on it. What did Eichel have to say about his season so far?
Yeah, it's interesting because that's how I approach it. I mean, he's second in the league in scoring going into yesterday when I wrote my article. Now there have been games since then, but so I haven't looked since what those games were played. But going into play, when I talked to him, he was still second in the league in scoring, but he doesn't have a goal.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, how do you look at that? I mean, your line is successful. You and Hall are tied for second in the league in scoring. Reinhardt's done very well since he's been on your line. How do you approach that? Are you mad because or upset because you haven't actually put the puck in the net? And he said, look, I don't care who scores as long as the puck goes in. And he did say, up until the last game, they have been doing well. But he said, hey, our line was on the ice for two goals against the Flyers in the last game. That's unacceptable. And that's on Sam, that's on me, and that's on Taylor Hall. And he said we have to do better than that. But he said before that, you know, the line was producing a lot of offense and a lot of chances. And, you know, he said he is paid to score goals too, and he's confident if he attacks the net that the goals are going to start going in for him.
It's kind of a normal thing for Jack, Paul, to – not necessarily be on his A game and still be getting a point a night. We've seen it a lot throughout his career. It feels like to me watching him that he's fine, but that next level that we see him hit for months at a time is probably still coming.
Yeah, and that's what Kruger said, that you know he was 5 days behind everybody else when it came to training camp. You wonder if, you know, they're not going to say if the injury might still be bothering him a little bit, but his shot's high again. I mean, if you notice, he's missing the net a lot, and that happened, what was that, 3 years ago he had that problem where, you know, every time he shot from the circle, he missed the net. It was always high, and he really worked hard on it to get that shot back down again, and it seems like he's back there again where every time he shoots, it goes over the net, so... you know, we know he's going to be fine. I mean, he's just, you know, got to kind of get his radar back.
All right, Mr. Hamilton, happy Sabres weekend to you and enjoy the football game Sunday night.
Yes, it was nice of the Caps to agree to make it a 3 o'clock game instead of a 7 o'clock game.
Yeah.
Which it was originally scheduled for.
You can watch the game and then get your work done and be able to grab your beverage and your food choice for the nightcap.
Yes, I assume you'll be cooking and bringing food over.
No. No, you're on your own, kid. Have pizza delivered for all I care about you, Hamilton. All right, we'll talk to you next week.
Take care.
All right, Paul, thank you. Paul with us on the Western Hotline. Hey, the stream is coming up next. So go to the WGR Facebook page. Jeremy, I'm going to guess, is fully clothed, and you'll be able to watch the final 2 hours of the show live on the WGR Facebook page. Hey, by the way, it is all Bills all day tomorrow as we get you ready for the AFC Championship game between the Bills and the Chiefs. Special playoff edition of Sports Talk Saturday begins at 10 a.m. with Nate Geary, followed by Sneaky Joe and Lou DiBiase at 2, all the way up until 6. It is brought to you by Topps Friendly Markets, best game day deals in town, by Taco Bell. Get your cravings under control with nacho fries at participating Taco Bell locations, and by Catalyst Fitness. Activate your life. All Bills, all day, tomorrow on WGR.